Chapter 9. Are you employed, sir? Working with bipolar. There are millionaires who are bipolar and homeless people who are bipolar. The major difference between the two is how much money they have. Some of them are leading entire nations, while others are collecting Social Security benefits. You might even be at both ends of the spectrum in a single lifetime. But unless you are born into or inherit a great deal of wealth, which end of the poverty to millionaire spectrum you end up closer to will, unfortunately, in our cruelly self-help capitalist U.S. society at least, be largely dependent upon your ability to build your own wealth through providing something of value to others, or upon your ability to access and draw upon the very meager social safety nets our country has put in place for people such as us. I'm here to tell you there's no shame in whatever path you choose. I choose to try and work, mostly because I want to maintain a certain lifestyle, and unfortunately, disability doesn't quite cover it. You would make about $20,000 on disability benefits if you're lucky, and they are notoriously difficult to secure. Not only that, you essentially have to agree not to work for the rest of your life, at least to go on the public employee disability system in my state, that is. The moment you start working, your benefits are in jeopardy. I've spent about 7 years of my life teaching high school, and 5 years working in public service, and about 4 years teaching college courses. I was very close to filing for benefits on several occasions, but every time I did, I stopped short because I love teaching, and I'd have to give that up if I decided to collect disability. It's shitty, but that's America for you. My first manic episode came just a year into my teaching career, but I was able to recover from it and went on in a year or two to become the Ohio Council for the Social Studies Emerging Educator of the Year, which was a pretty high honor as a young teacher. I went on from there and ran for office and got elected to serve as the vice president of my hometown's Board of Education while simultaneously earning my master's in international and comparative politics. I was also a regular at national conferences presenting on a range of topics, and after 5 years of successful classroom teaching, I moved into a pseudo-administrative role as a community outreach director. I excelled in that position as well, helping the school increase enrollment and create its first ever strategic plan, which has positioned it to now become the number one school in the Dayton area. After that, I decided to switch careers entirely and become a professional mediator, which I had been doing as a volunteer for about a year. I also became treasurer, vice chair, then chair of my city's sister city committee, and vice president of the local council on world affairs. I did well academically too, never getting below an A in my entire graduate school career and being recognized as the Outstanding College of Liberal Arts Student of the Year and Outstanding Graduate Student of the Year. I did all of this while managing a successful business on the side. In short, I was one of Dayton's own Little Lebowski urban achievers. Let's stop and talk about quitting your job for a moment, though, because it's a pretty common thing for bipolar people to do. What I would say first is this: don't quit your job if you can help it. Not having income is stressful, and stress isn't great for your bipolar, so if there's any way you can hold on to it, I would always lean towards trying to do that. But sometimes you just can't imagine yourself going on in the same position. In those cases, I think you have to ask yourself, if I was functioning at 100% and my mood was stable, would I be able to do this job well? If the answer is yes, I would do everything I could to keep my position, go on FMLA, or even go on an unpaid leave of absence. But whatever you do, make them fire you, don't fire yourself. Otherwise, you can't collect unemployment benefits. Now you might be thinking, I would never quit my job if I was bipolar, and I love that for you. But unfortunately, bipolar people can be a bit impulsive at times, so they don't always think through their decisions all the way. Catch us on a bad day, and like George Costanza, we might just chew you out and quit because you took our favorite work-shitting location and turned it into your own private restroom. My job quitting tendency typically is at its peak, however, when I'm depressed. I begin to think there's no way I'll ever be able to do my job, and that I'm just dead weight, and I don't deserve to have the position I hold. Add in a bit of imposter syndrome and a dash of midlife crisis, and that's how I ended up quitting at least 3 different full-time positions that all had nice benefits, healthcare, and pretty decent salaries. So it goes. After leaving mediation behind, I embarked upon a journey of trying to figure out what I truly wanted to do with my life. My biggest problem, of course, is that I just don't like working. I don't understand people who get off on it at all. I would have to agree with James Baldwin and the corresponding TikTok meme when he said, "Darling, I have no dream job. I do not dream of labor." That would summarize my sentiments precisely. Unless being the new Anthony Bourdain is on the table, then I'd reconsider. That being said, some jobs are certainly more tolerable, at least, than others, and a few years ago I set out on a quest to find jobs I actually wanted to do. Initially, I thought I could go back to being a server while being a doorman on the side. I made it about 2 weeks at Applebee's before their Stone Age POS, aka point of sale slash piece of shit system, ended up pissing me off so much one day that I left and never went back. I enjoyed my bouncing gig at a local bar, but that was only 2 days a week, and the hours weren't great. After that, I decided to try to become a woodworker, which I've always wanted to do. I realized pretty quickly, however, that doing it to make money is really an entirely different ballgame, and I wasn't prepared to spend 50% of my time on marketing, nor did I have the skills to really make the kind of pieces that would actually sell. After that, I tried pizza delivery for Domino's and made it a whole half day there, a new record for me in terms of least time spent at a job, just barely edging out the single day I spent as a roofer. I did do DoorDash for a while, though, and I genuinely didn't mind that. It reminded me of the job I used to have reading electric meters back in college, only it was easier. I'll return more to that in a moment. Eventually, I found a job working with a friend as an electrical assembler. You might be wondering, what's an electrical assembler? Truth be told, I didn't even know that's what it was called when I first started. I just knew that they put together wiring harnesses that went into industrial dishwashers. In terms of being a good fit for my bipolar, it had several things going for it. For one, it was pretty low stress. Most of our days were spent watching movies while we crimped wires. Most importantly, I was working with a friend of mine who I enjoyed being around, and I realized that was pretty special. I settled into doing that and bouncing for a while, but I got tired of it after a few months. I also got a new job, which I wasn't really sold on, but which paid better than anything I'd ever done before, being a positive school climate coach for Dayton Public Schools. I have to admit that at first, I thought perhaps I'd be able to do the job fairly well. Essentially, it consisted of coaching other teachers on how to improve their practice. I thought I might do well at it because I'm a pretty decent teacher after all, and I like working with other teachers. What I didn't know, however, was that they had a very specific idea in mind for what they meant by coaching, and it all revolved around a book that they described as their Bible, and which prescribed a very rigid approach to classroom management. But in addition to trying to coach high school teachers to be the kind of teacher I never was, they also wanted me to work with elementary school teachers. And it wasn't just working with elementary school teachers either. They often would just use our department to plug any kind of hole they had. One week we were fielding phone calls from angry parents about why the buses hadn't picked up their children, and the next we were subbing for teachers all across the district. I was in a different school every day, and I hated my time at all of them. I lasted about 6 months there before I quit, although that wasn't the end of my troubles. I also learned that the state of Ohio allows districts to revoke the teaching licenses of teachers who leave their district mid-year for up to a full year, and they attempted to do just that to me. Fortunately, I was able to convince them that I had left for mental health reasons, which was true, thanks to my doctor writing me a note, but it didn't really matter. It would still be over a year before I set foot in a high school classroom once more. After that, I decided to try and make money by podcasting. I even went to a podcasting conference out in Texas and learned everything I could about it. I was posting very consistently and slowly building my audience, but you really need at least 6 months to start to make money, if not 1 to 2 years. I quit at right about the 6 month mark, right before deciding I was going to get a divorce and move to Bosnia and Herzegovina. That didn't go as planned, of course, either, and I ended up getting the divorce, but meeting someone here before I left, falling in love, and deciding not to move overseas after all. This solved my relationship problems, but it didn't do much for my career, or lack thereof, situation. So, after simply not working for a while and running down my savings to next to nothing, I finally realized I needed to bring some money in if I wanted to maintain my lifestyle. Then, in January of 2022, I heard about a new charter school that was in its first year and looking for a social studies teacher mid-year. I should have known that was a red flag, and if I'm being honest, I did know that. I just didn't know how bad it would be. One thing I have come to learn about education is that the school's leadership sets the tone for everything, and they do so regardless of whether they are amazing or horrible at their jobs. All told, I made it through the duration of the year, but not without frequently calling in sick to take mental health days. It was pretty rough, especially because I had already decided that I didn't really want to teach high school anymore. It's really fucking hard work. But I got health insurance for a while and banked a decent amount of money, and I like to think I did okay even, given the circumstances. I was able to help them do their first integrated project-based learning unit, for example, and I got many students to pass courses they never wanted to take, so I can still sleep okay at night. After leaving there, however, I decided to just own the whole part-time thing and settled into trying to get as many college courses to teach as possible. I managed to get hired on as an adjunct lecturer at my alma mater as well, where I now teach an intro political science course that I really enjoy. Then I found a job where I am responsible for being the local housing manager for a group of international exchange students, and mostly am just responsible for doing monthly inspections of their units. I also started substitute teaching at a couple local districts and tutoring on the side. Finally, I landed a job doing trivia one night a week at a local bar. I still DoorDash on occasion as well. All this combined makes it possible for me to make my goal income of around $40,000 to $50,000 per year, and I'm pretty okay with that. I should add that I also have some side hustles that I haven't really been able to get going. One is leading people on trips to Bosnia and Herzegovina. Another is being a wedding officiant. And another one I am trying to get going is divorce mediation. None of these have really taken off, unfortunately. But my hope is that now that my work situation is a bit more stable and predictable, I'll be able to have the time needed to actually devote to one or more of these ideas and see if I can get them off the ground. I give you this long work history so that you'll better understand many of the challenges I've experienced in my working life over the years as I've struggled to balance my mental health with earning an income. What I've learned through it all, though, is that I need my work life to be at least somewhat personally fulfilling, and it has to be flexible enough so that a manic or depressive episode doesn't derail it entirely. Also, the less of it I have to do, the better. One of the unfortunate truths that my working life and my friendships have in common is that I've burned a lot of bridges over the years in both areas. There are more than a few former employers who I know won't take me back because I wasn't in a good place mentally when I left, or I left impulsively due to a depressive episode. I rarely leave jobs when I'm manic. Unfortunately, this includes the only real mediation gig in town, and my favorite high school I've ever worked at, so the two jobs that have been most fulfilling in my life are essentially ruled out for me. So having multiple jobs and, by extension, multiple bosses is a coping tactic I use in a manner that's similar to my friendships, whereby I try not to burn myself or others out too much at any one place. Instead, I have several jobs, so when the bar cancels trivia, which they did recently, I can pick up more hours subbing or doing DoorDash a little more. More than that, though, being a jack-of-all-trades also just helps ensure I don't get too bored. I'd say I have my teaching jobs down to where I can teach 5 classes per semester and work maybe 1 full day per week, unless I have a lot of grading to do. My tutoring gigs take maybe a full half day per week as well. I only really work for a few hours per month on the housing gig, and when it was happening regularly, trivia is only a couple hours per week. This is especially helpful because my fiancé has a number of health problems that mean I need to stay flexible and available for her when it comes to my own schedule, but it also gives me time to work on my projects, like restarting my podcasts and writing this book. The freedom and peace of mind that comes with having more time is invaluable, I've found, for my mental health. If I'm manic or depressed, an entire day at work from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. can be incredibly draining, but I can almost always manage to teach a couple classes on my busy days, knowing that I can rest the next day. I have also noticed, and maybe this is a bipolar thing or a latent ADHD thing, or is perhaps just part of my personality, that I get very bored doing the same thing day in and day out, and having each day be something different is something that just keeps me much more interested in the jobs I'm doing. And having flexible work options that I can literally do whenever I want make it much easier to capitalize on the times that I'm feeling good. Plus, I really kind of just love being alone in my car and driving around, picking up and dropping off food while listening to music, podcasts, and audiobooks. It doesn't get much better, to be honest. So I guess my advice would be to look into the gig economy or self-employment options if you're bipolar. There are a lot of other jobs you can do, though, that work well for someone with bipolar disorder. One of my TikTok friends finds that being a realtor helps him achieve a balance fairly well as a bipolar person given its flexible nature. But find what works for you best. The only real downside, and this is really just true for Americans, is that you don't get health insurance benefits. But you can, and I would argue should, if you can afford it, purchase it on the private market and make it work that way. If you're lucky like me and happen to be in pretty decent physical health, bipolar isn't a terribly expensive illness either. I guess I should say that comes with one big caveat, which is that it's not expensive unless you have to go into the hospital. Then it becomes ridiculously expensive very quickly. But if you can manage to stay out of Grippyzock's jail, then buying your own insurance isn't going to break the bank if you're working, and if you're not, then you should definitely get on Medicaid. All that being said, you have to figure out what works best for you, sometimes through trial and error. It's also true that for bipolar people, routine can be very important and something you should strive for. I've not found that to be entirely true for me, but for some friends, I know they do benefit from the regimented life that comes with a full-time job, and that's great for them. But even if you do choose to do the gig route, you can still build in plenty of routine into your day, and it's probably a good idea to do so, at least to some extent. The goal is to find out what works best for you, and ultimately only you can know what that is. Hopefully, though, this gives you a bit of an insight into what might be worth trying.